Folks, there are two major areas that are at the cause of almost all the issues of disconnect in schools today, between teachers, staff, and students. They are communication, and they are relationships. Both are totally crucial and necessary before any learning happens in K-12 schools. We know this. But what if I told you that with some proper training, a mindset shift is all that's needed to repair and fix both? Tune in for today's episode where I interview a specialist in the field of education and psychology, award winner mindset specialist Jackie Holland, where we put her on the hot seat and find out just how to solve some of these monumental issues in schools today and what she does and the mindset team does when they are approached with the exact same challenge. Stay tuned and thanks for listening. Enjoy. Guys, a major need in education is defined at its root to revolve around communication and relationships between staff and students. This episode is my first attempt at trying to show the audience that addressing both crucial areas of successes with communication and with relationships is as easy as talking to the folks of the Mindset Safety Training Team. And it's exactly what we're going to do here today on the show to prove it to you. I'm bringing to you an expert in the field of establishing the right kind of relationships via sincere communication, because I can scream it from the top of my lungs, and I feel like I have been for episodes now, but Jackie Holland can say it so much better than I can. Let me introduce to you Jackie. All right, you guys, so let me tell you a little about Jackie. She is a dedicated mindset specialist focused on program development and certifying trainers in mindset curriculum across the United States. However, and check this out, she graduated from an IB school in Johannesburg, South Africa, right? And you guys know how I get down with IB. You know that's close to my heart. Earned her bachelor's degree in communications in London and subsequently completed her master's degree in special education as well, with over 15 years of experience in a Title I school district. Jackie has held various impactful roles, including two-time Paraprofessional of the Year, Special Education Teacher Award-winning Special Education Administrator, a District Behavior Specialist. But you guys, if you want to talk about one of the nicest souls that walk this planet, it is my honor to introduce to you Jackie Holland. Welcome, Jackie.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm so excited to have you here. I've been talking about this with David and Steve for a while, and let's rock and roll. I'm gonna jump right in. I have so many questions.
Let's do it.
Your time is extremely valuable. So you ready?
I sure am.
All right, here we go. So I said it in the intro. In California, I came out here and created an international baccalaureate career program school. There is this notion of AP, right, Jackie? AP is like, for me, in my mind, AP resembles memorization, and you regurgitate information in a rapid amount of time and everything is stressful, et cetera, and it's College Board, whatever. I felt like the International Baccalaureate Program allows people to have such a holistic variation of educational skills and experiences. Did you think that IB track helped you to get you to where you are today?
Absolutely, 100%. Yes, it allowed my teachers to provide us with exposure to like unique literature. I would watch them get excited about what it was that they were about to teach me. Okay. Like, hey, we're going to read The Razor's Edge by William Scott Somerset, you know, and it's just, I remember the looks on their faces. And, you know, that excitement resonated with me, not only in the classroom in that moment, but for the rest of my educational career. Wow. They weren't constrained. There is definitely a rigor piece to it, right? But it's more portfolio based. Mm-hmm. But it was a really incredible way to learn because we were provided with thinking opportunities and not memorization requirements. So, yes.
It's almost like we spoke prior to me creating that program. I was
I
in a
know.
room full of educators. They said the same thing you did. And we were like, do you think it's going to work? But then we followed it up with like, why don't other schools do that as well? I mean, you and I could go on and on forever about this. I feel like it is expensive, you know?
Yes.
There's kind of that. The US is sort of embracing it.
Yeah. And the Title I school district in which I worked, they did embrace it for a good 3 years under a specific superintendent. And it was incredible because it gave our teachers so much autonomy to say, hey, I think this film will really reach my fifth period because my fifth period is so different than my third. It was it, and I had so much fun as an educator during that time, and I was so sad to see it go when that superintendent left. I was re it really crushed me.
Something to think
But
about it, Jackie, when you're
it
leading the
can
world
work
one day.
anywhere. That's what I'm saying. It's like it doesn't matter if you're at a private school on the coast. Like this was rural Georgia, Title I, and it can work, and it does work because, again, it's about how do we get our children thinking rather than just memorizing and sitting
Yes.
in rows and regurgitating information and really not feeling it. So,
Yeah. Let me ask you. So, high school in Joburg, South Africa, college in London, England, Georgia? How'd you get to Georgia, man? What's going on?
my parents are cool. I say this in every training. They're
Yeah.
even a little crazy. They provided me and my siblings with this foundation for curiosity, and they wanted us as their children to really have some pretty cool life experiences and experience humility and what that means. And they tell me this story all the time. They were sitting in the kitchen in Dallas, Texas. My dad got home from work, looks over at my mom. We're very little at this time. And he just says, hey, hon, do you want to move to the murder capital of the world? And my mom said, without hesitation, let's do it. So Johannesburg at the time was the murder capital of the world.
Yes.
They packed up the house, and within, I think, 3 months, we were there. I stayed all the way through up until my senior year in high school when my parents were ready to go back. But of course, any senior does not want to just skip town and go to a different country and try to start their senior year somewhere else. So I stayed behind. I lived with an Austrian woman named Ursula and her monkey, Fidel Castro. But that is a story for another day.
I love it.
And then once I graduated with my IB high school diploma, I thought, why not London? I'm not ready to go back to the United States. Haven't been there. It's foreign to me. I want to try something different. And then once I graduated in London, I had nowhere else on planet Earth to go legally, visa-wise. But my dad, who had worked for Coca-Cola, they were living in Atlanta, Georgia. So off I went to Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, I played just a random Smith song on a jukebox. And my now husband of 20 years had to find the person who played that song. That's how we met, and that's why I'm still here. So
Go on. That's like the best story ever. Are you
I know,
kidding me?
it's so sweet.
I just played that entire thing visually in my mind as you were saying it. That was fantastic. No
Oh,
way.
thanks. Yeah. But he's a South Georgia boy. He's an educator as well, and I'm raising a Southern gentleman as well who just turned 18. And so,
Oh.
it's there's a lot going on. But
Oh
that's
my gosh.
how I found myself in this state.
Interesting. What a question for parents to ask. Do you want to move to the murder capital? And then to respond with a yes, you could tell there's a bond there between the two that,
Definitely,
you know,
definitely.
they have found each other. Wow, that is fascinating. Let's take a different direction here for a second, because now that we know a little about who you are, what I want to know is, I hold you and the team in such a regard because you're a rare combination of skills that are necessary to provide solutions to kids in schools today and to staff in schools today. And so I really want to talk a little bit about mindset safety training. Because the popular one out here on the West Coast, and I also know on the East Coast, some schools, they use that, what is it, CPI training,
Yeah.
which is like mainly restraint. I mean, what's
It's a little scripted. It's a
right? It's
lecture
also, I feel
based.
like it's not nice. Oh,
You
can I just say that, Jackie? I don't know if
can say
anybody's
that,
going to
sure.
listen to it, but it's just not nice. So tell me, like, what is mindset safety management training, and how is it different from CPI?
First and foremost, Joe, mindset focuses on how we talk to each other and how we acknowledge each other as just being human beings doing the best we can with the skills that we've got.
I love
So
it.
that's where we start. And our tenets and guiding principles, like it's all rooted in trust, putting emphasis on what it is that everybody does well. Everybody's got some talent. Everybody has something that they bring to the table. Being proactive rather than reactive, avoiding power struggles, and just really trying to set everybody up for success, not only with the skills and the talents that they already have, but with the very simplistic strategies and techniques that we teach them that are, again, rooted in just kindness.
Yeah.
And we also are very different. We're very different in many ways, but we're very different when it comes to cost. We don't nickel and dime our folks, which really helps kind of detour or prevent that initiative turnover fatigue that so many educators are used to. It's like every 2 to 3 years, there's something different. What mindset promotes through our approach, in terms of not being focused on the money, is that there is this ability for districts to experience sustained growth even through difficult times of budget cuts. It happens. It's just the reality, the nature of the beast in which we work.
Yeah.
But I suppose you could say that our investment in empowering others is really what allows districts to continue using mindset, because again, it's cost effective, but our role is not to come in every year and fix, fix, fix. It's no. We're empowering you. Okay, you got it. Great. Awesome. Off you go. I suppose that's how I could describe it in a nutshell, and I hope I did it justice, Joe.
You did. I mean, it gives a whole nother level of kudos to the trainer, because you're almost organically modifying your training to the characteristics of the people in the room,
Right,
albeit
right.
having that theme of niceness throughout. But you guys have to do something different almost every single time you go, depending on your
Oh, for
audience.
sure.
It's not, I mean, you guys don't treat everybody like a number in the system, and that's what
No.
it kind of feels like working with you guys. That's it's I feel like you should know that. I think that is a good answer you're giving me. I love
That's a huge compliment. Thank you.
it. So all right, well then let me ask you this, because I have been on a few training with you guys, and I've always thought, like, why do you think schools are using programs like the alternatives, even though they're predominantly like these reactive physical restraint type tactics?
That's a really great question, because it's something that I address in every single one of my trainings.
Okay.
Historically, education has been very much so compliance rather than empowerment. And I think that programs like you had mentioned are just a direct result or response to that particular rock brain viewpoint or attitude. So yeah, they're responding to something that people are asking for. But what we do is different. our society and the needs of human beings have changed, and they will forever change. And mindset may be one of the few, if not the only one, that is acknowledging the fact that we need to change and grow as that change happens rather than fight it.
Rather than fight it, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, it's bananas. I feel like the reactionary part, that reactive physical restraint type thing, provides what people associate as an immediate benefit somehow. I don't know. It's like a defense thing. Like we need
It's a
strength.
quick it's a quick fix without even being a fix. That restraint piece actually fractures relationships. Restraint, of course, sometimes it's just what needs to be done in order to keep people safe. But mindset just it purely focuses on what do we do to prevent that? What do we do to empower everybody? Like if you were to look at mindset as a pie, the sliver of that pie that has to do with restraint is so small that if you were served that sliver of pie after your Thanksgiving meal, if that is something that you celebrate, you would be upset because it's very it's so small.
That is the best, Jackie. I love it. I just made a pumpkin pie last night at practice. Practicing. It did not come out well. So I hear you. That's
So we have the
interesting.
piece, we have the techniques, which are, not based in how strong you are, how big you are. I've been told I look tall on Zoom for whatever reason. When people meet me, they're like, "Oh, you're 5 feet tall." But the techniques are not based in strength or it's leverage and balance and safety and calm. The techniques are there, but the goal for anybody who is a mindset trainer and anybody who trains this curriculum is for you never to have to get to that place. And as somebody who worked with middle school to high school in students with, pretty significant behavioral needs, being 5 feet tall, restraint was obviously not going to be my go-to, but through mindset, it didn't have to be. I think my last year as a behavior specialist in that district, the total number of restraints I was involved in was two. And I had a caseload of I can't even remember the numbers now, but probably over 100 students.
Wow. That's quite a caseload, Jackie.
It's a big district, and
Yeah.
it was what it was, but
Wow.
those proactive measures that we try to focus on that brought us to the point where everybody knew what they needed to do to make sure that not only the adults felt emotionally and physically safe, but that the students did as well. We can never forget that the adults are a big piece of this too.
Yes. I can't help but to think in listening to your example, and then of course I go on a mental digression of food because you brought it up. But
Sorry.
I'm kind of thinking like maybe the CPIs and the physical restraints out there are like a fast food strategy or
Oh.
solution, right? Like it's quick, it's right there in front of you, it's this, it's whatever, it's processed solutions. You
Yeah,
guys are
I see
really
what you
rolling it
mean.
out. You're really doing the work that's necessary to sustain. Let me ask you this. So, what do you think you've done in your career that has best prepared you and aligned you with this mindset mentality? Because it is so contagious. But how did you get there?
It's kind of like what hasn't prepared me for it, Joe. I have two siblings, one with significant mental illness, schizophrenic affective disorder, the other bipolar. So watching my parents struggle to navigate that and us as a family trying to just keep it together, as well as multiple culture shocks throughout my life, going from this continent to that continent to Georgia, I mean, all of that, really needing to kind of take it all in and get to know the cultures of people who I meet, understand that though somebody may be different than I or think in a different way, different does not mean bad. Different means beautiful.
All right, Jackie.
So it's, and as well as working in the school district in which I worked, all of those things, everything, even just having a child of my own, where it was the day we got to bring him home, and I was like, you guys are just gonna let me walk out of this hospital with this child. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is the first child I've ever held. So I think all of those experiences combined kind of prepared me for this work.
That's like the best answer, Jackie.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh. I can see it now. Like it makes sense, you know, because
Right.
I was in education 25 years in some South Bronx schools, and I came out here to California and I was just used to, and I get around you guys and I'm like learning so much that I just did not know about approach, about communication, about response, feedback. I mean, on and on it goes. You know what? Let's do this. Let's try this. Bring us into a
Okay.
training. What is like a population like that you usually work with in schools? Are they teachers? Are they newbies? Are they struggling
Right,
sites? Like, bring
right,
us
right.
in. Tell me.
Well, first and foremost, I have to say that training is my happy place. My other happy place is, working from home, being with my boys. But going into a training is my happy place. And it's been incredible to kind of see the evolution of those who attend our trainings or who are invited to our trainings by, those who cut the checks, because the participants now range from anybody who is, 30-year experienced award-winning teacher to somebody who was just hired and this
Okay.
is part of their induction process to paraprofessionals, whoop whoop,
Yeah, man.
because from and anybody who's been a paraprofessional understands that we are tasked with a lot, and some receive the training that we desperately need. To transportation personnel, I'm starting to see nutrition staff in our
Interesting.
trainings, front office staff workers
Perfect.
who,
Oh
I
my
mean,
gosh.
like they see everything, right? They see
Absolutely.
everything from the first second of the day to the end of the day. So it's really gone from let's, just target those specialized classroom teachers who maybe serve children with emotional behavioral disorders or autism, to everybody who comes into contact with a child in the building. So principals need to know what this curriculum is all about. Not to say they need to be the ones responding all the time to everything, but they need to, of course, at the end of the day, be able to speak to the work that their faculty and staff are doing in the building. Were the techniques followed? Were all those proactive measures put into place? So it's gone from just those specialized programs to
Wow.
I couldn't be more excited about that,
I kind
because
of feel
anybody
like
can go into
everyone is
crisis
what you need, right?
anytime. It
Yeah.
doesn't matter if you have an IEP. It doesn't matter if you're in a gifted class. It
Right
doesn't
on.
matter if you've been teaching for 30 years. You might have a really hard day, and it's always great to have a colleague that knows how to support you and respond in a way that helps you to feel empowered, acknowledged, validated, and that you're given the space to do what you need to do to be your safest self for those who you have been put in charge of, who are under your charge.
And recalling some of the positions that you were saying are visible at the trainings, I mean, I'm just going to make a generalized assumption. I would almost wager that most of the people in nutrition have not met staff in classrooms, who have not met people in transportation,
Correct.
period. You know what I mean? And so bringing everybody together, because they're going to be communicating in a functioning school system at some point in time, they're going to
Yes.
be, you know, it just makes sense. I applaud you guys for trying to not have a boundary as to what an actual client looks like, and trying to reach everybody. So
For sure.
All right, you guys, we are back. I am with Jackie Holland from the Mindset Safety Management Training Team. Jackie, I wanted to ask you something here that I'm sure is going to give us a great answer. And so it's kind of a loaded question, but sharing
Yes,
success stories is one thing, but sharing success stories that have stuck with you like year after year because of the impact that it has left on you. Do you have any of those, like just magnanimous experiences?
yes, and of course, there are a lot. There are two that come to mind. One being a relatively, well, I'd call it medium-ish sized district in, pardon me, a very rural area reached out to us, and they were having a really tough time. Their disproportionality numbers were not good,
Okay.
and so they, reached out for our services, and
Jackie, can
we
you just
just kind of.
explain what disproportionality numbers might be for the listener who's yet to like know that level?
Sure. So, though that would be referrals, like if students who come from backgrounds where they are not born into wealth, they are not born into resources.
Okay.
If those students are being referred or receiving referrals or being basically, suspended, as well as what's the professional word I'm looking for? Expelled
Okay.
from schools. If those numbers are high, then that creates a very high disproportionality rate
Gotcha.
within your district. So that is what the district was faced with. And when that happens, that's when the state gets involved. And so they were in the hot seat, and they reached out to us. And we just dug in as a whole team. And over the course of just 2 years, of course, there was resistance at first. There's resistance to any kind of new thinking, any kind of change in approach. But where they were, they knew they had to do something different. But within just 2 years, and 2 years to some may sound like a long time, but when we're talking about change in the trajectory of a school district, 2 years is a very short amount of time. Their disproportionality numbers decreased, and I don't believe I can share the exact number, but they are no longer in the hot seat. They are not even on the radar of the state
How
anymore.
about that?
And we're pretty much hands off now, because it all goes back to that. We came in, shared some techniques, shared some strategies. They took it on, and they have been empowered. And now they are just rocking and rolling and doing what they need to do
Wow.
and continuing that success. So that's story one.
Wow.
Another story, which isn't a story per se, because it happens all the time, is that I will just be sitting at home or in the middle of a training, and I'll get a text message or an email from somebody who I just trained, or maybe perhaps trained a year ago, and they'll text me something along the lines of, "Hey, I just used that four-step counseling model thing with this really tough kiddo, and the adults around me were like, 'How did you do that?'" And they'll respond with, "Don't worry, honey. I'm going to train you in this next week. That's why I invited you to my training." So it's that level of just celebration, and also that level of, yeah, we share our contact information with those people that we train. We want to hear about their successes. We want to hear about the barriers that they're perhaps continuing to face, not to fix it for them, but to know that there is somebody there. Because all of our trainers, once you go through our training, typically the last thing that will come out of our mouths or that we will share is that you are not on an island in this. You can't do this work. You can't create change If you feel like you're on an island, please reach out with successes or with barriers that you're continuing to face so that we can continue the conversation and continue to grow our relationship.
Wow. I mean, you're talking about sustained solutions. You're talking about finding successes with populations that need it the most,
Right.
right? I mean,
And it's not, hey, oh yeah, we've got this new resource. It's going to cost you $50. No. It's give me a call.
any call.
Let's have a chat.
Wow.
And of course, our approach is always never, always never. But it's let me listen to what it is that you have to say. What have you tried? What has been working? What else could you do? Because ultimately, it's the realization through our mindset curriculum and our approach that the people we are serving and training sometimes need that little reminder that they've already got it. They've got what they need to do inside.
Yeah.
It's already there.
I love that. I love that. You know, let me ask you about that for a second, because in your travels as a trainer, what are some of the trends that you notice about the schools that do need mindset training? You know, what are participants usually need? What do they?
Some would think that it's, the schools that are on fire. And sometimes that is the case, but perhaps through word of mouth, we have found ourselves going to private schools, charter systems, districts and schools that you wouldn't think would necessarily have the need to give us a call. But I think what people are learning about talking to others about what mindset does is that we're not coming in there to what it is that you have been doing is wrong. In fact, when we get calls from leaders from districts and organizations who are doing well, that to me is a huge indication of incredible leadership.
Yeah.
Because yes, they might be doing okay, or they might even be doing well, but a leader that reaches out for support, even in that, what's the word I'm looking for? Even at that level, that just shows that they want to take their school and their faculty and staff to yet the
The next level.
next level up. And how beautiful is that? Who wouldn't want to
Yeah.
be better, get better, and just continually strive to make students and staff safe? Again, not just physically safe, but emotionally safe
Yeah.
and empowered and experience joy.
I
Who
love
doesn't
it.
want that?
Seriously, who, as a leader, as a teacher, as an educator, it's like the goal, right? It is a goal. So how do schools and staff find you guys or contact you guys for trainings? Do you have any coming up that maybe a listener could look into?
Oh, absolutely. And we're incredibly easy to get a hold of. David and Steve, their cell phone numbers are listed on our website. You give them a call. If they're in a training, they might not be able to answer, but you can bet you they're going to call you back.
They're going to call you back. Yeah.
I mean, that's how we approach things. That's how we do business. I don't like that word, but hey, I'm just going to throw it out there. Give us a call. Our website, which is brand new, it's beautiful. Our contact information is listed there as well. A whole list of all the trainings that we have coming up are listed there as well.
Awesome.
It's very easy to register. And again, just reach out to us if there are questions.
So I do like the fact that, well, first of all, kudos to the new website, right? All new digs, new
It's
digs.
pretty fancy, it's pretty sweet, but
Fancy,
it's
right?
easy to use.
But it does have a calendar of up and coming trainings that you guys
Yes.
have. You also have the February event in Jekyll Island again this year. Is that that's going
We
on again?
do.
Okay.
Yes, we
Okay.
do. February 5th through the 7th. It's pretty different than most conferences, I would say, because we're not
Yes.
there to sell you stuff. No, our presenters are there to share their knowledge and
It's
their
about learning.
experiences, and it's a great networking opportunity for really like-minded individuals. And hey, it's off the coast of an island in Georgia,
What's
and
me?
the convention center is, or the conference center, forgive me, is like 10 steps to the sand. So
Another good
yeah.
reason. Not that you needed another reason, but that is a
Right,
why
right.
you are on
And
there.
that's the conference is also listed on our website too. All you have to do is just to click
Right
and
on.
it'll show you all our presenters, videos from last year, past years.
Right on.
Yeah.
I have been there. I do agree. It is not a sales event. It is
Nope.
not your typical conference. It is for learning. I will also say to the listener, it is revolved around special education. And so we're talking about some of the toughest issues that education is faced with right now. And you have rooms full of professionals and experts that just want to network and collaborate and find more
Yes.
solutions. Jackie, let me ask you this one. So what's the most common advice that you as a trainer give to your audience regarding that mindset mantra and the themes that you guys hold dear?
I think my favorite thing to tell people and during trainings, and this is when I see their faces light up, is that, hey, you as the facilitator are simply that. You're a facilitator. You are not the fixer in the room. They may be fearful that, oh my gosh, I'm going to have all of these answers. I'm going to have to, provide solutions to everybody, when in fact, no, that is not how the mindset curriculum works. That is not how the thinking works. It is, that sounds really hard. What have you tried? What else could you do? And you, again, you, it's not to say, I don't know, but it's to remind those that you're training that they already have within them the solutions. But it's that almost executive functioning building skill. Sorry if I'm getting a little
No, I
nerdy
love
right
it. I
now,
love it.
but building up the executive functioning skills of the staff, to, instead of going into panic mode when things go wrong all the time, it's just to take a step back, stay calm, aware, respectful, live in those tenets, live in those guiding principles, and just take a different approach. And if it doesn't work, you debrief and
Okay.
you do better the next day.
Here we go.
So
Revise and edit. Do it
yeah,
again.
those who we train, they really do. We can actually hear a sigh of when we tell them, you are not going to need to be your audience's or your attendees' fixer. You're the facilitator.
I mean, it's such a breath of fresh air to work with you guys. And it's kind of why I asked that question, because that's what it feels like to be in the room. That's what it feels like to go into these trainings. It is usually a tense situation right out of the gate. People don't have
Yes.
any idea what they're up against. They kind of are a little standoffish. Nobody's stoked about trainings that revolve around stuff like this until you get into it.
Right.
And I do love that notion that, like, the executive functions that already exist inside of all of these educators just kind of have to be honed, right? Just have to kind of be reminded that they're there and that they could utilize them in ways that play to their advantage.
And Joe, a lot of times it's as simple as them taking a step back and looking at their systems and procedures and protocols and shoring those up. And once that takes place, when everybody knows what to do, when something does get a little hairy or does become somewhat of a crisis, if not a full-blown crisis, nobody's in panic because they know what to do, because they took the time that they needed to ensure that those systems and practices were shored up, and everybody comes out the other end a little bit safer.
Yeah, they do. I love it. Let me ask you this, because you're an absolute rock star for mindset trainers. You're one of the go-to in the organization. What is next for Jackie Holland? Where do you see yourself a few years down the road, 5, 10 years from now?
I'm curious.
Sure. Thank you for that. But in 1 year, we'll be empty nesters. So that's one thing,
Okay.
or 6 months, actually. In terms of this work, 5 to 10 years from now, I mean, we're developing somewhat more specialized programs in terms of supporting families.
Okay.
We already have a transportation specific foundations program out there, curriculum, which has taken off across the United States.
Awesome.
But I will say this, even though all that work has already kind of is beginning to take shape or has taken off, none of our core team, and again, we're five. Like
Okay.
David and Steve will go to conferences all over the country and they'll talk to similar companies and it's, oh yeah, we've got 100 employees, we have 400. David and Steve take a lot of pride in the fact that they can say we're five people. But the five of us do not look at this work at like on an individualized basis, if that makes sense. We feel like the work that we're doing now is so important and is benefiting people. And we view it as something that we hope outlives our time on this earth. So when we're talking about years, I suppose my greatest hope and goal is for the work to not slow down, but also stay true to what it is and what it always has been from its birth, which is just human to human. How can we work together to make people safer and feel seen?
You guys are awesome. You're like the best people ever.
We try.
Seriously, I gotta say, I've been in schools for over 25 years, and when I get around you guys, I'm like re-inspired, like a newbie. It's bananas. I'm usually quiet, and those people who know me out there, I'm not quiet. I'm usually very, but I'm learning so much. I just embrace everything that you do. I cannot describe what it's like to be in a room and work with teams of psychologists and you guys are all focused on making changes in sites that need it most. The positive vibes that hover over all of you are just contagious. When I'm with you guys and I walk into these situations that do seem sort of grim, and they do need guidance. Some of them are a lot more severe than others. So there's no, like, I loved how you said it is for everyone, but I walk in with you guys who I feel like are just, you're born to do something like this, and you're just consummate professionals.
Well, thank you. And anytime we're talking about Joe Clausy, it's just, we love that guy. Oh, isn't he the best? Isn't he the coolest? Like,
I'm
yeah.
so humbled. I'm so humbled. I mean, it's so nice to work with, and I say this to my wife all the time. I'm working with a team of people who are teaching everybody to be human again. And it's what we need in education. So thank you so much, to all the listeners out there. Jackie can be emailed at jackie@mindsetsafetymanagement.com. That's the new digs.
The new name, yep.
Oh my gosh, you guys, go to the website, check it out. You can go see Jackie live in training. Go see her at the conference in February.
Come
Jackie,
on down.
thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's been an honor and a pleasure.